It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, July 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Apple has agreed to pay up to $400 million in a settlement deal related to a case over whether the tech company conspired with major publishers to fix the price of e-books. The settlement with 30 states, detailed in court papers filed this week, could be reversed or reduced by a U.S. Court of Appeals. But assuming the settlement stands, what might it mean for ebook consumers? Jeff Roberts reports on policy and law at GigaOM. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This settlement suggests what if you're somebody who's been buying a ton of books on your iPad ever since the iPad came out?
It's probably good news, and you don't just have to have bought the books on your iPad. If you buy ebooks in general, you're very likely to get a refund or some credits.
And that'll happen, I don't know, within the next year or something like that? You'll get a check or a credit to your account?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, what happened last time is people suddenly checked their Kindle accounts, and lo and behold, there was a credit for, you know, $3 or $10, or depends how many books you bought.
Sure.
Some people, based on this, could be due for a pretty substantial refund.
Can you tell me what this might mean for other dealings between the government and ebook publishers or companies like Amazon, for instance?
Well, I mean, the publishing industry is very afraid of Amazon, and so there's some irony in that Apple's the one that's getting punished here when their market share in ebooks is actually relatively small. However, it's also ironic in that even though the publishers are being punished too, a lot of these refunds are going to be in the form of book credits, which means all the money is going to be used to go and buy books from guess who? Often the same big publishers that were part of the conspiracy to begin with.
Jeff Roberts is a law and policy reporter for GigaOM. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Whether we're talking about Yahoo and Netflix buying TV shows to run online or simply how we all just watched the World Cup, there's plenty of proof that our watching habits are changing fast. And Nielsen, which meticulously tries to find the numbers on who is watching what, has had to adjust its process. Nielsen has announced that Facebook is going to help by tracking what people watch on their phones and other mobile devices this fall. It'll send that, along with their gender and age information, to Nielsen. Of course, Facebook hasn't had the best track record on this kind of thing recently. Leonida Inge reports.
The new tracking system, says Dori Clark of Duke University's Fuqua School of Business, is a necessary evolution.
People are consuming far more video on their smartphones, on their iPads, and if we want to make smart decisions about how to allocate marketing dollars, we need to know what they're watching and where.
A Facebook spokesperson says the new system can't be used to identify individuals. Facebook and Nielsen announced this partnership last year, but recent controversy over Facebook manipulating content to influence users' emotions as part of a survey worries privacy advocates. Jeff Chester is executive director of the Center for Digital Democracy.
It's just one piece of a much more disturbing picture that is emerging as Facebook links with these powerful market research companies to understand, you know, what we do and when we do it.
In Durham, North Carolina, I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
Science experiments are hard enough, but what about doing science experiments in space? Today, a group of students is heading to NASA's Reduced Gravity Education Flight Program, and yes, that is exactly what you think it is. The plane flies up and down and up and down and approximates zero gravity so the young scientists can do their work. Ish Sanchez is studying mechanical engineering at San Jose State University, and the experiment he and his team is conducting has to do with trash disposal in space. Ish, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
What do you know about working in a near-zero gravity environment? What challenges are you expecting up there?
Well, your whole outlook on life up until this point when you experience zero gravity is completely shifted. So there is no up and down. There is no sidewalls. The mere act of pushing a button can send you off in another direction.
Your team is studying space debris. Tell me a little bit about your experiment and why you can't or don't want to do it on the ground.
So we're interested in studying in-space manufacturing or even asteroid mining that we may potentially have in the future.
What is your strategy for these precious few minutes of zero gravity time?
Our experiment is really simple. We're just cutting some long carbon fiber cylindrical rods with a shear, which you can imagine as this big lobster claw that just kind of crushes the boom. And what we hope to gain is to see the different particle trajectories that happen from cutting in zero gravity.
So you can figure out where to position the trash bags of the future to catch them.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so do you want to go even further into space? What are your plans after graduation?
This is my goal, and this is how I kind of define my life, and that is I want to push the space frontier. So I want to make space access for everyone. And now that NASA's cutting back on their space budget, not that they want to, but even this reduced gravity flight education program that we're a part of, we're actually flying on the very last flight because the program is being canceled due to budgetary constraints.
I guess it makes those precious moments even more valuable to you and your team.
And it makes me that much more motivated to give everybody the access to, you know, enjoy space, not just these astronauts that we invest millions of dollars in.
Ish Sanchez studies mechanical engineering at San Jose State University. He's also part of a group of students participating in NASA's Reduced Gravity Education Flight Program. Sounds like one of the last. Ish, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate your time.
And before we go, yes, Kim Kardashian's Hollywood app is expected to make $200 million this year. Yes, it is constantly updated to reflect the latest fashions. And the build-your-own celebrity game, sex tapes not included, could apparently net Kanye's better half $85 million. I'm so glad we're giving her more money. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.